All right, welcome back to an impromptu, not completely impromptu, but a midweek Greenbox Gaming plays Delta Green Impossible Landscapes here for another session of puppet shows and shadow plays. Guys, how you doing? I usually get you guys a lot fresher in the morning. How you doing here in the evening?
Actually, this is my prime time.
Yeah, this is normal for me.
Yeah,
as I get a call.
Feeling good.
Oh. I thought it was going to get snippier than that. I thought it was going to get something better.
No, I've been instructed no snippies today.
Yes, Jean has been instructed to keep his lip in check.
No snip lip.
That means Brad and I have to dial up the snip by 50% each.
Right.
So we can maintain.
God damn it. Yeah, we don't want to get the ratio all fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, how dare you put us through a stupid Twilight werewolf campaign?
How dare we play at a convenient time of day that I don't have to wake up for?
How dare we? Okay, John, you can bring yours back. I'm not liking this.
All right, so I finally got my t-shirt, and it's amazing. It fits like a glove in that it's too small, and it only fits on my hand.
I was about to say, like, you have to, like, lube up to get it on.
Hey.
Dude, it's nice.
That looks nice.
Now, did you pay for that?
Did you pay for that? Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
It will come out of your check.
It will come out of your extensive...
Well, then that's like...
The whole check.
So I'm negative.
You're in the negative.
You're in the red, my friend.
So it was funny the other day, Brad had asked, he's like, hey, you know, he has a question on our Discord. He's like, hey, like, maybe this is getting a bit ahead of myself, you know, but like, what level do I need to make a character for the D&D one shot? And of course, because we're friends who have known each other a long time, I responded with, what makes you assume you're playing in the one shot, right? Because I have a pathological inability to be kind to my friends.
Mad burn. Big diss.
Yeah, big diss. But
very
big
diss vibes.
But so to get to that point, Brad, the answer is level 7. The answer is level 7. You guys were level 7 before, I thought.
I thought we were 5.
No, you're 7 now.
I thought we were 5 too.
No, you're 7 now. But to get that end, like, so we are going to have the Christmas one shot here in a bit. Unfortunately, I will be virtual. I will be handling these guys. I will be DMing these guys from across the nation. They're all going to be, I assume, together. Are you guys going to, like, do it all together? Like,
no, we should definitely do that. Hell yeah.
If we can figure out logistics, that'd be nice. Yeah. But
make it especially.
You're
going to
be somewhere else, Joe?
I'm going to be back here. I'm not going to be heading back. Be staying over here this year.
Jesus.
I know, right? Hey, whoa. We gave John his snip back. We don't need that. Okay, calm down.
Well, y'all are welcome to come chill at my place if y'all want.
Yeah,
I'm not sure my time off situation. Yeah, we could do that. That'd be fun.
But I did want to. Ask you guys though, because it's like, and apparently, Dace and John have started a completely serious Baldur's Gate 3 campaign together, which I'm sure is completely regular and normal. But I wanted to ask you guys, like, we've been doing Delta Green for a while, and we've had a break here every now and then to do some Dungeons & Dragons once a year for a single session. What do you guys, like, the original reason we got into doing Delta Green was because we had kind of gotten fantasied out to an extent. Like, now that we've been doing Delta Green for a while, like, what do you guys miss about D&D? Like, you know, I'm playing that. What do you miss?
Being able to cast spells without going insane.
It's a huge plus.
Feeling any sort of sense of control or power?
Yeah. Yeah, it is nice to feel like a superhero, to feel like you have agency. Like you're a main character.
DG, great game. Doesn't make you feel like a superhero.
No, it does not. It doesn't even make you feel like the main character. Like, it does not.
No.
It works probably horribly for you, Joe, because we're repressed and we just go completely crazy in an already crazy quote-unquote campaign, if we can call it that.
Yeah, we're so repressed.
Oh yeah.
How are you impressed, Brad?
Is you it... guys are so straight laced the rest of the time.
I forgot Dace is playing an insane lawyer.
Psycho.
I think he might be the sanest of us all. You know? Like he's got
he made some surprisingly good choices last couple sessions, despite the manner in which he made them.
What about you, John? What do you miss about you didn't have as much experience with D&D as we
did. No. I think
less sullied.
It's a game that is like fantasy based and there's dragons.
It's the one with the ball, right? And you kick the ball hard.
The black and white ball or the brown weird shaped ball?
Sure. No. Okay. I actually like the complexity. I feel like I've got a good handle on... It may not seem this way, but it feels like we've got a simpler rule set to work with DG. And I was still getting my... I don't think...
That's true.
I don't know if you can ever cover fully what the D&D 5e rule set gives you without like having a handbook, and you always kind of figure stuff out. So it's a lot more exploratory just in actually playing the game. Whereas this one...
That is true. In that sense, maybe DG's better for first-time role-player games, because you could literally be like, I want to do this, and technically, I guess the handler's supposed to be like, okay, roll this, you know, on your sheet, 50. If you're digital. Yeah, and everything's above or below 50. Pretty easy.
There's a lot less math with variations on the fly.
Yeah.
You get your bonuses here and there, your 20, 40%, but that's about it. It's pretty limited. But then, like, I know, like, Dace and I have listened to a lot of Pathfinder. Like, I love listening to Pathfinder, and sometimes it does get crunchy, but I don't know, there's a part of me that really kind of misses the crunch. It's the part of me that loves playing Baldur's Gate. Because it does scratch that crunchiness itch on, like, how do I kill Merkel in a single hit? Like, you know, or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I don't know. So we're going to get back to it. I do want to know if you don't have anything that you're just like, you're just a blank slate, you'll just kind of roll with anything. I have something that I could suggest, but I can work with whatever you do.
Make a ghost.
I had an idea.
Make a ghost.
I'm a ghost of Leon.
No,
you said anything, no. Joe.
We're done with Leon.
Okay, what was the name of the professor that we killed?
You killed a lawyer, you know, named Steven.
No,
I thought it was a professor of the
Are
magic.
Are you talking about in the tower? College. In the tower?
Are you, when
I thought
you
we
guys
killed
were in the...
like a dean or something. In the
it was definitely a lawyer. You had a lawyer with you. Well,
that was the NPC that I brought along.
That was the first. That was the first session. The second one, we were in a magic. The last session we played, we were in a magic
like castle
school.
Yeah. It was like a university. Yeah,
and it was a lawyer we killed.
No, you didn't.
That was showing us around.
You didn't have an NPC. Oh no, you. Yeah, you did kill. There was a guy who was like who took you up there. Who was like pretty sure he wasn't supposed to take you up there or something. And then you guys convinced him or something. I don't remember exactly.
Okay,
we'll figure it out.
Well, that was what my whole character is based off of, that entire interaction.
Okay. Well, we'll brainstorm it. We'll get together. We'll do something.
Okay.
A lot of, per usual, a lot of great stuff has happened to your team in the meantime.
I can't fucking wait. Honestly, I can't wait to hear what has happened in the meantime.
It's my favorite part of preparing the one shot. It's how have things
like,
got
how did he cut us back down to nothing despite having, you know, gained substantially, like,
yes.
How do you take us back to zeros?
How do I take it away? How do I take it all away? It's such a good part. All right, well, listen, speaking of being back at zero, holy shit, let's talk about what happened last time in Puppet Shows and Shadow Plays. Because you guys just lost the only person who could have had a vague idea of what the fuck is going on here. And that was Special Agent Willikin, your Delta Green handler. That being said, two of you, not only are you not in Delta Green, you're not aware of the unnatural at all. Only one of you, only Brad's character, whose name I totally remember.
Jack.
Jack, that's right. which I remembered, Jack Dorner. Jack Dorner is the only one. He has kind of been a friendly for Delta Green. And he is the only one who has known really what's going on, knew that something unnatural was here, and had been instructed to help Agent Willcutt cover it up. The other two, Bert and Thorne, you guys are advisors. There have been six separate people, four total cases of disappearances in eastern Arizona in 1991 around the San Carlos Apache Reservation. You guys came in, you got your briefing. Jack got this secret kind of confab thing over here to the side with Agent Willcutt. And you guys kind of looked over the cases that have been going on. You decided, okay, we're going to go. We're going to look. The first one we're going to look at is this guy, Felix Royos, a young Apache man working at a gas station who disappeared. Some surveillance footage there. You guys met the local police chief for the San Carlos Reservation, Chief Colorados. You met him there. He was able to smooth some stuff over. There's tension. There's tension with different jurisdictions, with the state police and the state troopers, and now the feds and the local Globe police over in the city, and then the Apache police. You guys have all these different things, and you guys have been told, Willcutt told you, hey, I'm a fed. I'm just going to kind of aggravate the situation by my mere presence, so I'm going to let you guys take the lead. You're still working for me. You're working for me, and you're working for the agent in charge over in Phoenix, whose name I'd have to recall here. You guys are working for us, but I'm the one who's leading this team. We're going to figure out where these people are. We're going to figure out what happened with these people. You guys, while you were there, you saw this weird situation. This guy comes in, speaks to Royos in the middle of the night. Royos falls outside. They go away. They go away, and you're not really sure what happens after that. Nobody ever found. Car missing. Jack went around back. You guys are going to take a look. And Jack found this weird breadcrumb trail of trash out into the desert. Like, very purposefully laid, just one piece after another, and discover the body of Felix Royos, only his, like, him buried, and only the area around his face and head having been dug up, his eyes having been picked out by carrion birds, by vultures, but not having been eaten by whatever, and you guys discover just, like, weird footprints going on and whatnot. You guys don't know exactly what's up with that. But again, you're trying to figure out what is going on here. It's not entirely clear. So, you guys, okay, the body's going to go off the medical examiner. You guys are going to send actually the tape. You guys are going to send the tape off to like a special processor. I believe that was Bert's mm-hmm. doing. You guys are going to go get the tapes enhanced. And you guys get ready to do all that. And in the meantime, you decide, okay, let's go back. We've had a long day. We've got this body out of the ground. Let's go back. Let us get, you know, kind of settled in where we're going to be. And that night, about 2 o'clock at night, lo and behold, I keep forgetting his damn name because it's so forgettable. Yeah, Willcutt.
Jack.
Willcutt knocks on the door. And Jack's. He has this huge wound in his neck. He's able to kind of talk you through calling this number that he has hidden in the sole of his shoe. You call. A cleanup team arrives. Willcutt dies in the bathtub, bleeding out of the neck. They come in, and we last left off. Jack is standing there. He hears the... Just as the sounds of... You hear the sounds of what sounds like a reciprocating saw. Like... Like from the bathroom where you've put Willcutt's body. As one of these cleanup guys is in there. Figuring that situation out. As this other guy stands before you. He tells you, he's like... Hi. Hi, it's Dr. Dorner. You can call me Mr. Green. Welcome. It sticks out a hand, and we ended on that scene, on that close-up of the bloody hand, shaking hands mm-hmm. with Mr. Green. So, that being said, Jack, Why don't you roll me a sanity check?
Right.
Why don't we just start there?
Is this a Pulp Fiction reference? Right. I think it was Mr. White, the cleaner.
Oh, no, he's Mr. Wolf, isn't he? He's the wolf.
He's a wolf.
Well, I think he's the wolf, yeah.
He's the wolf, but... never mind. You know, and the other one, Reservoir Dogs, they're all named colors, I suppose.
So success. So go ahead and take one sanity damage for everything that just happened. The helplessness and violence combined. I'll let you choose which one of those you want to combine it. You want to put it under because they were both pretty... you were completely helpless in the situation to save him. And it's quite violent.
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Green standing in front of you, he's like, what the hell is happening? And you see Mr. Green, he looks like he's in his 40s, a Hispanic guy. He's wearing a set of coveralls zipped up to his neck.
Jack is like, takes his hand away and maybe he's like about to like brush his hair back or something and then sees like the blood on his hands and just like thinks better. And he's like, I don't know. He just showed up at my door like that. He had a chunk taken out of his neck.
Mm. All right. You have no idea where he was? He didn't tell you where he went? Anything?
I mean, he didn't tell me anything. Last we saw each other was X time, you know? And I tell him... I'll relate to him everything that's happened so far, briefly. And, I assumed he was at his room.
Yeah.
Or in his room.
Yeah, because you guys left, like, at the end of dinner. You know, like, you guys went to your rooms. He's like, okay. All right, well, listen. Here is what's going to happen, okay? I'm going to fix this the best I can. I'm going to explain that Willicott had to go back. I'm going to tell Agent Hobson, who's the actual agent running this thing over in Phoenix. I'm going to tell Hobson that that fucking Willicott had to go back to New Orleans, right? Like, so he got called away. So he's going to be handling you guys now, but he's the agent in charge over there, the whole Phoenix facility. He's not going to come over here. So expect a phone call from him tomorrow. You need to be here, probably at like you need to be in this room to receive this phone call at 10 o'clock, okay? Be in this room, ready to receive this call. He's going to call you and give you instructions on how to kind of handle the rest of this thing. You guys... So, Dr. Dorner, I'm going to be very serious with you here. You understand what's at stake? Do you get what's happening? Don't fuck with me.
I don't quite understand any of this, sir. I'm not trying to be cross. I'm just...
But the nature of what we're dealing with, you understand, right? Willicott told me about you.
I have an idea, yes.
All right. I'm going to tell you, I'm sorry for what's happening. This is not the way we like to do this, okay? But we got no choice. And I can't be here come morning, okay? I'm going to watch this from where I can, okay?
What do I tell the other agents involved? The lawyer,
You guys are going to work together under Hobson. Okay, you're going to report to him. However he tells you to do it, he'll probably have you check in every day or something like that. But you guys will run this over here. I will handle Hobson, okay? What you need to do is you need to make sure these two guys... You need to hide as much of the unnatural from them as possible. If it's not possible, you need to contain... them talking about it. You understand? If you feel like one of them's going to go talk to the media or something, I'm going to give you my pager number. You call me immediately. Understand? Immediately.
I do.
Me and my other... I have another compatriot, another agent I work with. She might contact you as well. She's more in the field, typically. This was complete last minute. She might can't reach out to you, okay? But for right now, the story is Willicott came to you at, like, midnight, okay? And told you he had to go back to New Orleans, that he had a case back there that he had to pull from, okay? That's the story when Hobson talks to you. Understand?
Understood.
All right. About that time, the door opens and you see two garbage bags just flump, flump, get kind of dropped out, like, outside the bathroom door. And then this guy leans out. He's like, I think we're all done here. Like, okay.
I think Bert was maybe outside smoking a cigarette, like, outside the motel, and as he comes in, he sees this scene, and he's like, Sawzall in plastic bags, huh? I find it a little bit pedestrian, but it is utilitarian.
They're still, like, still in the room. This is in the room. Like, in, what's his name? In Jack's room. They're not, like, out in the hallway quite yet. I do like this idea.
Bert's been under my bed the entire time.
Good choice, Sawzall. Good choice. No, I like this though.
Slithers out from under the bed. Good choice.
Why is he all booped? Why is he just like slips out from under there?
He's got so much goop on him. He's got so much moisturizer. His skin glows in the light.
But we'll say that there is. I like this a lot. Bert's out taking a classic 3 a.m. cigarette. Right, because naturally he does that thing where he sleeps for 30-minute blocks, and he does it like 5 times a day, so it gives him the maximum.
It's more
amount
efficient.
Of awake yeah.
I find it's more optimal for my personal biome.
Oh yeah. Oh shit. My internet.
I think Joe frozen. Frozen.
No. Yeah. Vamp.
Oh.
Huh? Look what you've done to him.
Maybe he's back.
You messed
okay,
me up.
He's back.
Okay, sorry, you messed my internet
there
up.
Goes.
I have no idea what it was. Okay, it's going to be a little touch and go. Hopefully it will stabilize. We will see here in a moment. But yeah, so Bert is out having his 3 a.m. cigarette. And these two guys, Jack, they are getting ready. And they, like, maybe right outside.
That happened again.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
With me.
And we're not together.
We may need to take a small 3 a.m. smoke break.
What? Hold.
What?
Hold.
Oh, okay.
And.
Oh, there it is.
There okay. he is.
Release!
Okay. So, but Bert, maybe you see one of those big laundry, like, rollers outside, like the big canvas laundry rollers outside of Jack's room. It was not there when you walked out just a minute ago to go get the cigarette.
Again.
Froze up again. All right, it's going to be one of those sessions. Buckle in, boys.
We'll buff it out in post-processing.
I'm trying to create a new
okay
character face. I don't
if
like
it does it,
characters.
If it does this one more time, we're going to pause and I'm going to reset okay. everything.
Okay.
The like entire bugs. Internet?
Yeah, I'm going to have to reset my
no, internet. Like
the whole internet. Everyone's internet. Everyone's all at once. So you have these two guys in your hotel room, and Mr. Green is standing here. He's like, all right, well, he's like, what's the, what looks to have got him? And he says, the other guy, he's like, ah, looks like an axe wound. Something like that. Big blade. He's like, all right. Well, listen, he's like, oh, here, you'll need these. And he gives you the keys. He, like, wipes the blood off of the keys from Willicott's car. He's like, here you go. He hands them to you.
Jack takes them with, like, two fingers.
Like, all right. We'll be in touch. You have my pager number. Anything that leads you to believe these guys have seen something and they're going crazy with it, call me. Understand?
Understood. Do I have the... Jack won't say this. Can I see in the vicinity maybe he left his actual apartment keys around here somewhere?
Willicott?
Where... Yeah, like to his room?
Oh, yeah. He probably has his room key and stuff like that. They'll probably give that to you. They're like, you know, do you want anything else? We've got...
Okay.
The guy was like, anything you want from his pockets?
Jack doesn't... Jack will reach for his handgun if possible.
Yes, you can have his handgun, his handcuffs...
Wallet.
His room keys, his wallet. You can have his wallet.
Sure. And Jack won't be like, Jack has shot a pistol before, but is by no means like an expert. And he'll just kind of like tuck it in his back.
Safety off.
Belt.
Okay.
Boom.
Yeah, just blam, blows Lock out roll. The back of his yeah. pants with the pistol. All right. Real quick, let me roll something. Let's do. Don't you like random fun rolls?
Yes.
Don't you guys love that? It's one of my favorite things.
Love them.
Love them.
Also got questions for the handler.
Go ahead.
So you said that he died of an axe wound to the neck?
Some type of... That's what the guy's saying. He's like, it looks like he was hit by like a blade or something in the neck.
And he was able to make it over here before he died?
Apparently.
Is that the MO of the killer that we've been tracking down? Have any other of the deaths been carried out with like blades to the neck or any?
Well, keep in mind.
That's what they're just missing to you.
Yeah, you've only found one.
They're just missing, and the only one we found the body last session of Felix, right? We identified that as Felix.
Okay.
And we sent his body off to actually get an expert to determine what happened to him. So we don't know
the signs of a large creature around, but we didn't really know.
There's a canine footprint
right
around.
You guys had seen that when you guys first got there, when Jack had gotten there, the vultures had like basically picked out his eyes, like they had access to his head and were eating at his face. But the rest of him, like you guys would have seen him being exhumed. Nothing crazy, no crazy wounds that you could really tell.
And the dude that said axe wound, is that the guy that had just chopped up the body? Just to be clear. This is what was relayed to Bert.
It was him.
It was him. He's like, I think it's a jigsaw that got him.
All right. Just making sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a lot of mixed things because it seems if Felix was buried, it seems to be like a somewhat a thought out crime, and you would think if it was like some kind of monstrous canine creature that would be more ravenous, wouldn't take the time to bury a body. I don't know. So
I'm thinking maybe I'll turn to Jack and Thorn. And
I think
be
Thorn's
like,
asleep.
Yeah, you guys are.
You're not in the room yet.
Yeah. So these these guys. So here's what happens. These guys go and the door opens and Bert. You are down at the end of the hallway, just entering the room, and you see this laundry cart. And maybe there's a moment where you just kind of stop, just for a second, because it wasn't there when you walked outside. And right as that happens, Jack's door opens. And out comes two men, each of them holding two apparently quite heavy garbage bags. And they thwomp, thwomp, they put them in this big laundry cart. What are you going to do?
Okay, so he sees that, and maybe he kind of smirks like, so pedestrian. But anyway, carry on, boys. I never saw
you. Wait, does he know what that is? Does he have enough intelligence? Like, does he know what's just happened?
I've honestly gotten a little bit lost in the narrative as to what he knows and doesn't. Was not aware that our handler was just dismembered.
No, you guys have
he knows
no idea that any of that happened.
Okay, I got you. So maybe he's like, Gentlemen, Bert Morris, pleasure to meet you.
Well, here's the thing, by the way. These guys did just come out of Jack's room, right? So, you know, if you get the theory that they're loading up a body, I mean, hell, they might have killed Jack. But if you say that to them, if you're like, I imagine you say it way too far away from them. Like, normally you would wait till you got close to be like, oh, hello. But you say it, like, way far away and walk down the hallway with your arm outstretched for a handshake the entire time. Just, like, walking towards them, hand outstretched.
Yeah, sure.
They see you, and the guy who you don't know is Mr. Green, but he, like, pulls a ball cut down. He's like,
oh, sorry, just... Sorry, didn't mean to wake you, sir. Moving some stuff out of here, and they're just rolling away, you know, down the other direction toward, like, the elevator. Oh, pardon us.
And Bert smells a very particular iron smell.
Familiar smell.
And he winks and just says, I never saw you. And he'll go into Jack.
I feel like we should roll to see if he like actually knows closing, that somebody just... got killed. This is I don't know. He's super intelligent, so we just say he actually knows that somebody got
killed.
Give
me an alertness. Give me alertness to see kind of like okay. what your feeling is, what your takeaway is.
Alertness, not great.
That's alertness. Good.
Well, damn. That's a 19
That's
under
a
20.
19 under 20. Wow.
Okay, Bert, there is something on the air. It's a smell. Maybe a familiar smell. Who can know? Who can know what Bert gets up to on the weekends? Or maybe as they're rolling away, maybe, you know, because imagine those big canvas laundry carts. It's like white canvas, right? And maybe right as they're getting at the end and about to enter the elevator, your eyes go down and you see at the bottom of this white canvas laundry cart is beginning to pool red. Like if one of the bags is leaking. And you see it beginning to spread. And you know, you're like, there's a fucking body in there.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe he walks into Jack's room. Knock, knock.
I hate you. Jack is, you know, still, he probably sitting on the bed with the hand. He's like, you know, so he's like, what are you doing up?
Oh, I was just out for a cigarette. I find that 3 o'clock in the morning is a very peaceful time. None of the hubbub, the humdrum. The hustle and bustle of the day, all is just nullified. Couldn't help but notice there is a laundry bin rolling down the hallway there. Still rough night?
I'm just thinking of the doctor in Jurassic Park when Goldblum's character's acting, he's like, I really do hate that.
That's great. That means I'm doing my job right.
Jack is looks a little perturbed. He's like, come with me. Willicott had to leave. He's gone back to New Orleans. And
I bet he is.
I start walking. What?
Is that where his plot is? Wink.
Listen here. Bert, listen, I don't need any more stress or weird shit coming from your mouth right now. I got a lot to handle. Just come with me.
Jack, my lips are sealed here. Would you care for a cigarette?
He takes it. You offer.
Snatches it.
Attaboy, Jack.
And then I go to knock on Thor's door. Knock, knock, knock.
Did he even light it, or is he just sucking on a dry cigarette?
Is he just like I'm just aggressively?
I'm just trying to get Jack off my fucking back. I'm just, yes. Mm. I mean, Bert off my back.
Okay, thump.
I knock
he'll
on.
Wake I'm, up! And, what? I, what? It's yeah. too early. What?
What is Thorn wearing?
Thorn. It's.
He's got a onesie.
Lace.
He's got a fuzzy professional onesie.
Okay. Deep like with blue. A tie.
Yeah, yeah. It's got a tie.
Okay.
Fuzzy. Very fuzzy. It's very comfortable.
Very fuzzy. Okay.
It's he opens the door. I'm saying it's Jack and Bert.
Okay.
Got a situation.
Right. He gets ready, gets his stuff. What do you need? He's out the door, slams it shut behind him, locks it.
At this point, Jack does light the cigarette. He's like, now listen, Willikit has gone back to New Orleans. He thinks he's left us in charge of the case. He thinks someone was going through his room. We need to go check it
Why
out.
Why is this
he
a
left
three
in, a
in the morning affair? God damn it.
I wish I knew. And do I know where Bill would have stayed? Or where his room was?
He is like right down the hallway from you guys. You guys all know where each other's rooms are.
And I, you know, continue basically to say kind of the same story as I walk towards the door to just reiterate probably in my own head what this quote-unquote story is, but I'm like kind of regurgitating the same thing to these guys. And I go to the room. I was like, we need to look around for anything in here. I mean, anything that's anything we think that might be someone tampering with the case, someone trying to tamper with us. Y'all haven't heard anything tonight, did you?
I succeeded alertness. I'll leave that to Joe.
I personally haven't heard anything.
You were up awful late.
I like to sleep,
Bert,
in 1 hour increments, like our ancestors did. I find it helps my gut health.
Sorry, I asked. What about you, Thorn?
Yeah, there was noise. It was a bit disruptive, but I am used to working in noisy conditions. I Cut sleep it. Like a noisy baby.
Sorry about that. Technical problems. Anyway, where we were.
Yes.
He's taking these two down the hallway.
And basically I asked these guys if they heard anything, kind of prodding them, and Thorn says he sleeps like a loud baby. And then I decided to stop talking to him. And I opened the door to his apartment.
Or it's his hotel room.
Yeah, sorry. Hotel room.
Yeah. Yeah, you open the door. And this is middle of the night. I mean, it's like maybe at some point in time, it's like you might see one person kind of like slip in or out of a room down the hallway or something. I mean, there's nothing going on. It's like 3 a.m. by now. You open the door and you see it is obviously a photocopy of your room, essentially. It's, you know, it's a kind of a medium-sized hotel here in Little Globe. And you see that there is a suitcase with a what looks like, you know, his clothes and all of his effects. There are two garment bags with like four different suits. You know, it looks like he brought backup suits, you know, as a fed. And you find that there is a and maybe he does have a and this, I'll just give this to you, like if you even just like go over there and open the bedside table, you find a second pistol. This one is supposed to be a small personal weapon as opposed to his like medium service pistol that he carries around on his hip. Can I get Bert and Thorn to give me alertness checks, please?
I did one earlier for you. You didn't use it, so I'm going to use it now.
Well, did you pass it? Or are you just going to use the passing one because you like that one?
Yeah, I liked it. It felt good. And you know what? I don't want to use too much internet power to roll again.
That's what it is, because my internet juice is
bad
lagging.
For the environment.
Sean has actually routed his roll 20 through ChatGPT, so anytime he makes a roll
it burns
a gallon
like,
of water yeah, evaporates.
It burns like 30 gallons. So, Bert, you don't really notice this. Bert, you already have got your kind of your radars up. Like something's off already. Like I think that'd be fair. Bert's a smart guy. Something's off, right?
In the room,
this
or
no,
the
just
whole
with
thing.
The situation, with everything going on.
The laundry cart.
Yeah.
Was it the dead bodies
blood dripping out of it? Oh, it was probably the dead bodies.
It was probably the blood. But Thorne, here's the thing, and Brad, you specifically said this. Thorne, as you guys are walking down the hallway, you're pretty sure that Jack has a gun stuck in the back of his pants. Like, which is odd. Mm-hmm. And not only that, when you guys walk in here, Thorne, you guys walk in the room, he's telling you that Willicott left, but all this shit is here.
All right, Jack. You just, it's way too early in the morning for the, I see you're packing heat now, and you're saying that Bill is gone. What the hell actually happened? Why the hell are we in his room? He didn't leave.
I'll fuck you then. Never mind.
Fuck you.
Assuming you didn't call me an idiot, I was just saying, okay.
He's grumpy. It's 3 a.m.
In that case, just listen. That's the story, all right. And I'm telling you, he left. He's not here. Do you see him anywhere? Do you see him?
What
are you
getting at?
Jack.
Jeez.
Jack. Christ. I saw a little bloody bag.
What are you on your period?
Oh my god.
No. Far from it.
Oh no.
Look. Jack, we just need to understand if we're in danger. If you have a gun, that means you feel unsafe or you feel like we're in danger and we're on the same side here, which I assume we are. You should get your story straight with us.
We're on the same side. It's just... things have been complicated. I know you don't trust me. Hell, I don't even trust you two, but... we're going to get through this case. We at least have to come to agreement now.
I'm going to roll a persuade and try and convince him to...
How does that work, Joe? If we're going to...
Opposed rolls.
Well, you need to tell me what you want to persuade him of first. Like, what are you trying to do here?
I'm trying to persuade him to be honest. It's very clear he's dodging...
That's hard. Question. That's hard. Like, because okay. It's like it's hard for you to necessarily get him to do something. He's not a PC. But if you're again, if you were trying to, you can use your human to like if you're trying to figure out whether, you know, how true, how evasive he's being.
That's fair.
To kind of take that temperature.
That's a 30 under 50. He's a diplomat.
Yeah. This guy. So again, like we had talked about last time, you know. Thorne has worked in there's some complicated stuff in Colombia and stuff like that. Thorne has worked with people who are under duress. Jack is about as stressed out as he could possibly fucking be right now. I think it's very clear to you. Why that is, you don't know.
He's going to change strategy and use some of that training. Be like, try and switch into empath mode. He obviously realizes he's coming in a little hot. So he's going to be a little bit more empathic and be like, Jack, listen, I've been in some stressful situations. I get it. I've dealt with very, very difficult life or death situations, and it can be difficult. And what helps the most is to confide in the people that you trust. If you don't have any teammates and you don't trust them, you're alone. And that doesn't feel good, does it?
We come to this agreement. Then all three of us have each other's back, right? No matter what
Absolutely.
Happens,
Undoubtedly.
Jack rolls his eyes. Listen, all I'm going to say is Willikit was attacked here. That's why he's gone. And don't try to pry anymore. I don't like to deal in deception. I'm a professor, for crying out loud. I'm after the truth, but for reasons I can't explain, I can't go into all the details. Now, he was attacked. I assumed here. That's all I know. That's why I'm here. We need to look and see if someone was watching us when we were at that gas station, if they followed us here, if it's the kidnapper.
I simply have to point out a flaw in your plan, Jack. It is of utmost importance to figure out how, where, and when Willikit was killed. We simply have to look into this matter.
Now, he wasn't... I didn't say he was killed. I said he was attacked. And that's all I'm saying.
Attacked and went home.
Should I go delve into those laundry bins out in the parking lot, Jack? Is that what I should do? Is that what you want me to do? I don't think you want me to do that.
All right.
You know what, Bert?
Jack, you don't need to say anymore. I understand. Okay? Bert, let's just follow his lead. Let's get some coffee. Let's figure out what the hell's happening and figure out who else we need to talk to for what's next. We've got a lot to do. We need to get to Fax Machine. You've got your analysis. Let's just keep going with what we've been tasked with. And right now, as much as I hate to say it, Jack, you've got point.
My only concern, Jack Thorne, this attack happened recently. The longer we wait, the farther away the perpetrator gets.
That's why we're here. I want to do a search of this room to see if we can figure out if someone's here. So I'm going to roll a search of the room, and I'll take the gun and hand it to Thorne, his side pistol.
The spare gun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
80 success.
80 or 90. You have a massive... You're so insane. So good. So good at searching. Like, there is nothing that can hide from the eyes of Jack Dorner. It does not take you very long. I mean, it's like there is... You're like kind of dump out his stuff. And there is... It's not really hidden necessarily. It's just like at the bottom of his suitcase, there is a file folder. And in the file folder is several documents. A lot of them appear to be like administrative stuff for Agent Willikit personally. Like, and it's about leave of absence and like him like filing stuff to be on like temporary assignment to the Phoenix FBI office, right? Like it's him. It appears that he normally is stationed in New Orleans. That is where he works normally, and he's like on temporary assignment. But before that, as you're parsing through it, you can see that he was just before he was in Phoenix, he was also stationed down in Houston.
Okay.
And then before that, New Orleans. That he, over the last few months, he has, over the like last month or so, he has moved from New Orleans to Houston up to now Phoenix, where you guys are now, or you guys are near Phoenix. And as you go, you do find there is at least one piece of something that falls out, you know, cinematically falls out at your feet. It is this document, this newspaper clipping here. Does anyone want to read this in a 1920s newsboy voice?
The French Quarter cannibal. By Perdence LeBrew. New Orleans, 17th July. First there was a disappearance, and then, as the police and public became more vigilant, several bodies and parts of bodies were found stashed around the city. 3 weeks into the murder spree, a local man, David Charles, killed an unarmed homeless man who had broken into his home. The autopsy, which was made considerably more difficult because Charles had emptied both barrels of his 12-gauge shotgun into the tramp's abdomen, revealed traces of human flesh and blood in the dead man's digestive system. The tramp's name was Elijah Jackson, a recent transplant from Nashville, Tennessee, where he had been. Huh.
So.
Yeah, why? What's a tramp? Is that as like that in the sense we? Why is it called? Why
it's
is it
a tramp? Dog? Like the lady and the tramp?
Yeah,
it's a breed of dog.
It's a breed of dog, obviously.
But that's tramp what is
a, okay. A tramp is a term for like a homeless person or a someone who like a vagrant.
Okay.
A tramp. That's very in keeping with the 1920s accent.
So is that what the date is on this? Is that what the date is on this article?
This
like
is
an older
this
date?
Year.
Okay. Yeah,
this is this
of
year.
This year. So 1991. Yeah. So body part. Okay, this is a new. You said this is New Orleans. Okay.
Yes.
Maybe one of his. Suppose this could be one of his old cases. 3 weeks into the mercenary, a local man. David Charles killed an unarmed homeless man who had broken into his home. Okay. I'm just rereading it so I get all the facts. Interesting.
David
okay.
Charles killed Elijah Jackson.
So you have Willikett's badge and his ID and stuff. You have his wallet and you also have his keys.
I have his wallet and there's something that I want to follow up on with that.
Okay.
So it's 91, so credit cards are a thing, right?
They are, yes.
I would like to call his credit card company and impersonate him and see what his last transactions were.
You know what? I don't know how if they had, 24-hour service, but by God, I love the idea. Because it gives you a chance to get in trouble. So, of course, we're going to do it.
Okay.
So so give me
give them just enough rope to hang
themselves with. So I did not have a credit card in 1991, but we're gonna go by kind of modern rules and say there's a number on the back of the card that you can call. And here's the thing: you have this guy's driver's license, you have all of his information, like right there. You can pick up the hotel phone and call this number if you want.
Yeah, what's his first name again? Jack Willikett?
You look at it, it's he told you to call him Bill. His name is William Willikett.
William Willikett. I will call that number. I don't know why it's British.
Why it's got the British phone tone. Because it's hard to do another one with your mouth. You hear welcome to American Express. Please hold for the next agent. I'm not even acknowledging that, what you just did.
Press one to hold.
Okay, you hold.
Good morning, this is Tim with American Express. Can I have the cardholder's name, please?
Yes, this is William Willikett, and he'll read off the card number.
Yes, Mr. Willikett, what can I do for you this morning?
I'm afraid that I might have had some fraudulent charges, and I would love to see where they came from.
Oh.
Can you look into my account and see the last charges from the last 24 hours? Possibly even the last...
Does anyone
12 hours?
Does anyone else have access to your card? Do you have physical? Are you physically holding your card now, or is it missing? I can deactivate your card if necessary, Mr. Willikett.
No, I have it. I'm simply concerned that somebody got my number, and they're just out there willy-nilly charging things.
Okay, give me some type of roll. Let's,
Bureaucracy?
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I don't know.
Come on. It was a painful noise thing. For not hating it.
It really was painful. I thought this was straight up going to be bureaucracy. If it's not bureaucracy, then I wouldn't have even tried to do it.
I'm surprised you don't have a good persuade. But if you want bureaucracy, that's fine. I'll give you whichever one.
I've got a decent persuade, but calling a credit card company, that is bureaucracy.
It's bureaucratic. Like you're talking around. You're like, well, you know, I need to do this because I need to report it to the police and stuff like that. Yeah. So give me your bureaucracy. If you fumble it, I will punish you.
He's good.
That's another 80 under a 90.
Your bureaucracy is 90?
I'm a lawyer, dude.
Oh my god. Okay, and here's the thing. You know, we've
normally that would go to law.
I love that he doesn't even know
being
that
completely
much about
honest.
Law.
Being completely honest, lawyers don't know shit about the law. It's all about bureaucracy.
It's all about
this
paperwork.
Is one of the reasons that I wanted to play this character because I have a newfound hatred for lawyers.
A very fresh hatred.
This is therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, so, and the funny thing is, and rolling an 80 out of 90, that is, like, someone who had a lower level skill would never even be able to do this, right? So this is, like, a really high level play. Like, maybe you go in, you try to softball it, and he's like, well, well, unfortunately, sir, you know, we don't normally just give you the location of the charge. Maybe he starts with that, and you really get into, like, not like I need to talk to your manager kind of stuff necessarily, but you really get under this guy's skin, and he tells you, he's like, Okay. Well, I think I can, I think I have the last, 24 hours. It looks like about at 1:45 a.m. that there was a charge for, $13.95 at the San Carlos, tobacco and alcohol, pit stop, in San Carlos, Arizona. Are you sure your card has not been stolen, sir? I show you being in New Orleans.
Oh no.
I'm on vacation.
Okay. All right. Well, as long as you have your card, we can go ahead and get a new one in the mail for you. We will have to deactivate that one.
That would be fantastic. Can you send it? Actually... No, I'm not gonna push those buttons. Yeah.
Could you say that again, Joe? Where was he?
That would be fantastic.
Go store.
He was at the San Carlos tobacco and alcohol shop.
Pit stop at 1 o'clock.
Yes.
And he showed up right at my house at Jack's room at 2.
Right.
So
right
this is. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks.
So he. Well, he hasn't snapped the phone shut because they didn't have those yet, so he just like, boop. Gentlemen, we have some prowling to do.
Well, Jack, that was actually, or Bert, that was actually brilliant.
Okay.
I guess that's a feather in my cap.
so what's the plan?
Do y'all want to head there now? Like, we want to stay up a little bit later and... investigate this? I guess that would be the smartest thing to keep the trail fresh.
Yeah, definitely.
Can I check if there's anything else in the room?
You can give it a go.
Yeah, I'm...
Fail.
No.
I succeeded my search, and I'm assuming if there's no... And if he got hacked, then there would have been blood. That would have been pretty obvious. So I'm guessing it didn't happen here. He must have not even made it back to his room.
Maybe you even see like drips of blood, maybe like from the end fire exit door. That looks like he maybe didn't come up through the lobby. He came up through like a side door.
Okay.
You know, like and up. Maybe you can see those little drips down. You know, when he came to the door, he was like holding the wound. And it was just like he was just exsanguinated by that point.
Gotcha.
So,
yeah, I would say let's try to that exit where we think he might have entered in from and try to trace where this tobacco store, tobacco and liquor store is.
Maybe, surely there's a Yellow Pages and the nightstand. We could look up the address.
Oh, 100% there would be. Yeah, absolutely there would be. And maybe even, you know how when you open a Yellow Pages, like the front flap is all ads?
That's where he's, yeah.
Maybe right there is like, is the San Carlos tobacco and alcohol pit stop. Like, it's just there in big, bold letters. You know that, like, had been mentioned before, you know, people travel from all over to get, like, cheap alcohol and tobacco on the reservation because there's no taxes. So, So yeah, so, like, you see that there. It's very clearly that you see the address right there.
Cool.
It's, like, cool. Right over the border on the reservation. Like, right over the border from Globe.
So it is on the reservation?
Just over the border, yeah.
Okay.
Does anybody feel like a early morning drive?
Yes.
I'm pretty tired, but I think it's best if we want to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah. Real quick, who has Wilkett's pistol?
That's Jackson. Me.
Jack, you have his sidearm.
Oh, I've got a sidearm.
Thorn has his pistol that we found in his room, and then I have his pistol that he had on his person.
Yeah, you have like his service pistol, his medium pistol. Then Thorn, you have a small pistol.
Okay,
it's like a .32 caliber revolver or something. Like it's definitely like his personal, you know, like an ankle gun kind of thing. Like small.
It's like a six shooter.
Yeah.
Okay.
At some point in time, maybe as you guys are leaving the room or, you know, and they've already said something, Thorn has already made it clear you have this thing. What's your firearm skill?
Who are you
Jack or
to?
Thorn?
Jack.
My firearm skill is 20.
20. All right. Never mind then. You guys leave and you go out that side door.
That's really
you
curious.
Go out that side. You
I
go
stop
out that side
and ponder over this medium pistol that's in my.
You look.
Okay.
You look down the barrel and
straight down the barrel.
See if there's anything good.
Is there a bullet in there?
You guys head down, and as you're going, you see that there are indeed drips of blood up the little fire escape stairs, and at the bottom of the stairs, it's one of those places where if you have a key card for the hotel, you can badge in, like here you can, to get into the side door. And there, pulled up not very straight into one of the little parking spots there, is Willicott's car, the car that he had, the rental that he had with you guys. It is very, very clear that there is a bloody handprint on both the outside of the door and on the inside, blood on the steering wheel. The fabric is dark colored, but he definitely bled in here. He drove this car, and you know, and knowing how far away this place is, you're like, man, I mean, he held it together and drove back here over like 15, 20 minutes, like bleeding out of his neck.
Bert, walks over to the car and leans over next to the door and swipes a finger over the blood print and licks it.
God damn it.
O positive.
Oh. Okay.
Anyway, we should probably get going.
All right. So what are you guys going to do here then?
How many miles is this?
It's probably like a 15-minute drive.
I'll drive. Let's get there quick.
Fine by me.
Please be my guest.
You guys pile and then, in Thorn. You do have to like wipe down the steering wheel. It's sticky.
Ugh. Does he have? He's probably got some driving gloves in his back pocket, so he puts on his driving gloves.
It doesn't matter. You can just wipe it down. It doesn't matter. No, either you're way. Right. You pull out your driving gloves.
And he wants to get there very, very fast.
Oh, outstanding. You want to get there very, very fast? Did you roll a drive?
I rolled a drive. That's an 8 under 50. And he gets us there in a lightning speed in this car.
There is actually, and here's the thing, I'll ask you whether you want to use this or not. You have one of those little magnetic police lights that you can like put on the nice. The roof. Like yeah. it's like you know, it hooks into the what is it? The
cigarette lighter.
The cigarette lighter. And it has the little light that you stick, and it has a wire and it has a little magnet that you stick it on top. Do you want to roll with a light going? A little blue light?
Yes.
All right. He sticks that little blue light on there. It's going.
Makes the scene more intense.
Yeah, John. Yeah. And you guys zoom out into the desert. As you get up to, as you cross the border into the, you know, you don't really know what to expect, you know, necessarily, but you cross the border and there's a little side where there's a sign that says, you know, San Carlos Tobacco Alcohol Pit Stop with a big arrow, big flashing arrow, you know, telling you to drive off this way to get over to it. And as you pull up, you see a familiar looking car. It is Chief Colorados. It is the chief of police of the Apache, of San Carlos Apache Police. His car is there and his blue light is on as well.
Oh, shit.
And he is, and as you drive up, you can see he's standing there with like a pad and a, like a pad of paper and a pencil talking to someone. And he sees you guys drive up and he narrows his eyes at the car. You know, he's like, and you
I'm
see
not
him,
good at... Okay, go ahead, sorry.
No, he just dismisses the guy and kind of puts his hands on his hips as you guys drive up, just kind of watching you.
Shit, fellas, he cannot know that Willikit was attacked. I mean, Willikit, what's our story?
Shit.
Well, Willikit went back to New Orleans, right, Jack?
Right, so why the fuck are we here with our lights on?
We needed a late night snack.
I love it. We're just a bunch of assholes. It's Jesus. Like, you know in Superbad where they turn their lights on to go through the red lights? You know that scene? Like, we just wanted to drive fast.
We smoked a lot of Arizona's finest, and we have the munchies, Jack. We have the munchies. Do you understand the munchies?
No, I don't. Thor, can you take the lead, please?
Okay, I've got this. Don't worry. I'm with the FBI. This is fine. This is normal.
You guys pull up, and Colorado's just staying there. He's like, and he just says, he's like, good morning.
Morning.
Just very, again, eyes still narrow, hands on hips. Good morning.
Good morning. It's odd to see you here, but I'm glad you're actually here. We're following up on something. It's rather urgent. What's happening? Why are you here?
Somebody was shooting.
Shooting?
Yeah, something happened out here. Nobody quite saw what it was. Very coincidental. What are you looking into exactly?
Well, that man that we saw at the gas station, the videotape, we have some information that might show that he was here recently.
Really? He's kind of tapping his pin like on his thigh. You know, he's looking at you hard. He's sizing you up. Is 100% what he is doing. He is sizing Thorn up.
All right, diplomat versus police.
Roll. Yep, roll me a roll. Let's see how he feels
persuade
about this.
Or
yeah.
Human. Persuade.
Persuade.
That's a success. Ah. 32 under 50.
Nice.
All right, he's like, What are you like, I guess there's a reason we call the feds. You think
we
he was here?
We have the resources.
That same night, you think he was here the night Royos, the right night Felix went missing, was killed.
Possibly more recently. We're not sure. That's why we're here. We need to look into it.
God damn it.
We're following leads.
Jack, almost obtrusely, like, not very tactically, he's like, what kind of firearm was it? That fire.
He just, the eyes narrow again. After they'd relax a little bit, they narrow again. He's like, pistol. He kind of points towards the very edge of the parking lot. He's like, and you see some cones, like some little evidence cones, looks like. He's like, someone, some type of scuffle over there. Guy came in and got some cigarettes and left and shooting at someone or something, and then he just took off. Something got him.
Blood spatter patterns?
Yeah, there was blood. We don't know if it was who or what he shot at or what.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Do you mind if we take a look? We are here.
I think this is probably Apache business. I don't think this is involved. That's, frankly, we get it every now and then. Hooligans. People popping off. Little mini gang fight things. Nothing. I don't think this is about the investigation, you know. You can listen. He's like, listen. Don't touch anything. Don't touch anything. And he like points at each of you in turn. Don't touch anything. Don't touch anything. Don't touch anything. And he walks you guys over there to where, and you can see that there are like little, he's got these little evidence cones, like little orange cones set up, and you count 5 separate empty shell casings. And then there is what looks like, you can see rubber marks from where a car has burned rubber. And what looks like some blood around the area where the car would have been.
First instinctively Jack wants to know, does he think there's video evidence? Does he see a camera on the outside of this store?
You look around, you don't see any cameras.
Okay.
You know, this is like that other place where Royos was, that was like a chain place. Okay. Cameras are not super common in 91, right?
Chief?
This is a little more low-key.
Chief, have you checked for any weird trash trails at this gas station?
Oh, no, I haven't, actually. And he's like, and that actually kind of pieces interest. He's like, I'll go around back, take a look. And he's back there. He's like, maybe lightning strikes twice, you know, as he's like heading around the back.
Okay. As he's gone, Jack will take the gun out and look at how many rounds are in the medium pistol.
8 rounds remaining in a 13 round clip.
Oh, nice. No.
He says, this was him. This was Willicott right here.
Wonder if there are anything significant about the blood spatter patterns.
Do you have any forensics?
Possibly. Do I? No. None. None. Maybe I should take a different sort of approach and go talk to the gas station attendant and try to get the video again. That seemed to work out okay the first time.
Just doing the same thing.
I don't want to. I would let Bert do the thing, but I want to. Can I roll forensics real quick before?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
What do you have for forensics?
40 failed.
Okay.
Do we push?
Looking at it, I mean, you can't really make a. Hey, you could push.
You want to push?
Do you want to push?
Push,
push,
push. Push, push.
You want to push? Push?
Fine. We'll push. We'll push.
That's a push.
Oh, yeah, you've got willpower.
That's a good push.
All right, so what do I do?
Roll D4, roll. Burn that willpower.
D4, that's a 3. Ouch. Deduce 3 from the willpower.
Correct.
Okay, and roll again.
Roll one more time. Don't fail.
Failure. Oh. 53 over 40.
The boy got the bad pushy.
Yeah, like, so about that time, so you guys are, you're doing this, and you see maybe, you know, Colorado's comes back around. He's like, okay, well, it's nothing back there. He's like, hey. He's like, and like, you look down as you're like looking around, you're trying to, you know, figure out anything. You realize that you've knocked over, like, you've hit like two or three of these shell casings with your feet. Right as Colorados is coming back around. He's like, what the hell did I just say? Get the fuck back. Where the hell is Willika?
I'm sorry, Chief. It's late. That brings up a point. Willika will not be with us for the rest of the investigation. He's gone back to New Orleans. It'll just be us three here from now on.
Oh, excellent. You've really demonstrated your extreme professionalism here, goddammit. Is he, like, looking down at the shell casings that have been moved? He's like, I hadn't even taken a picture of these things yet.
Jack Chief was just, there. Like, embarrassed, doesn't say anything, like, rubbing the back of his head.
Yeah.
Look, Chief, apologies for this staff member of the educational facilities. Was there any trash trails? Okay.
No,
just trying to
like
highlight
right
his lack of experience in this entire domain.
Listen. I appreciate that you guys are following up on the lead. It's probably just best that you go ahead and go. Okay? Just, he gives you his number. He's like, his pager number. You know, he probably has a cell phone. He's like, you can always call the station, tell them to radio me. But you guys should get the hell out of here. I need to finish this up. God damn it. And he can tell he's like really pissed. It seems this guy takes his, especially the two of you with a high human, this guy takes his policing business very seriously.
Hmm. He's like, all right. He's like, well, get out of your hair.
Yes, please.
Quick question.
Listen,
I think Bert does.
Yes, the weird one.
I mean,
he wanted to go in and talk to the cashier.
Yeah, I don't want anything to do with Colorado's. I just want to. I have two things. Like, possibly there's video surveillance, and I'm also curious where the blood trail leads, like hunting down a deer, like the spatter on the ground.
I think he said there was no videos.
Yeah,
there's no cameras.
From what you can tell, there are no cameras, right? You're looking around, you can't see any cameras.
Gotcha.
As far as the blood, it seems kind of restricted to where the car would have been, as well as the bullets, the bullet casings, right? So it doesn't really go off
anywhere.
So there's no, like...
Well, that is curious, isn't it?
Chief, we'll get out of your hair now, but just wanted to check. Do the names Prudence LeBeau or David Charles ring any bells to you?
No, I don't think I've ever heard Prudence LeBeau, David Charles. Mm-mm, no, nothing.
Okay.
Right. I'll listen. The crime lab, the state troopers, they have Royos. I'll let you know as soon as I hear from them. And he heads back in, and as he opens the door and is heading back in, he looks back out at you guys one more time, like shakes his head, you know, and goes into the store. And this, like, they don't even sell food here. All they sell is alcohol and tobacco, right? It's open all night. And he heads in, and you guys are left here, you know. And as you guys are here, you're standing. It's like the sun is maybe, I mean, just the inklings of sun is beginning to show at the edge, the most purple tiny little inkling of sun. And as you do, you guys just hear this long coyote howl, like, that just seems like uncomfortably close and uncomfortably loud, just kind of up from the desert as you guys are standing there. And like, and it's cold, and it's like, it's chilly and dry, like this cold in the morning. You guys there's that shiver as the wind picks up and this howl goes as we pull up as we see you guys all kind of, you know, turning away and going back to the car as the camera pulls up as we end for this session of Puppet Shows and Shadow Plays. All right. Guys.
Very well done.
Very, very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I really enjoyed this, and I really enjoyed, you know, this is something that we haven't really done before. It was like some character conflict. And I just realized how much I dislike all of you after it. It's really impressive.
It's really a window into who we are as
humans.
People.
Yeah.
These characters that we're playing.
Well, listen. Everyone listening and watching, thank you so much. Some folks had joined us originally and then the stream crashed. Thank you guys for those of you who tried to get in here and listen to us, that weird midweek recording. Thank you so much. You want to get these a week early, you want to get the session zero, all that extra stuff, you want to get Sandy checks, consider the Patreon. It's $3. You just buy us a cup of coffee, but you keep us going. We will catch you next time. For those, if anyone who is with us right now, stay tuned. We're going to take a break and be back. For everyone else, thank you again. You guys, thank you, Sons of Bitches.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
You don't have to say a derogatory name after you thank us every time.
Okay, thank you, friends and Dace. I will catch you guys next time. We will catch you guys next time. Stay safe. Much better. And stay sane. Bye.